have burdens. Now notice Malachi, the prophet, is given a message from God. And here's what God says to Malachi. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel through my prophet Malachi. In other words, God is saying to Malachi, Malachi, I have a burden, and I want to let you know about my burden, so you can let the people of Israel know about that burden. Now, in this instance, the Lord's burden was caused by the backslidden state that Israel was in. As you read the remainder of the book of Malachi, you can see this to be an obvious fact. God was burdened because of their worship becoming hypocritical. And because their offerings had decreased to the point that they were just worthless. And their morals had become disgusting. And their praises had been given to other gods instead of to God himself. Now all of these backsliding faults of Israel had brought a burden upon the Lord. Which implies that when we walk out in sin, we bring a burden to God. What is a burden? According to the dictionary, it's a heavy load that you have to bear. It's some unpleasant difficulty that you are faced with or you must encounter. And it's a Greek problem that you have to deal with. Now we know from Malachi that sin burdens do bring burden upon the Lord. Why? First of all, because they weary you. They weary you. In Malachi 2:17, God said, you have wearied the Lord. You have wearied the Lord. Now we know that God is affected by sin. First of all, it wearies him. And secondly, we find in Ephesians 4:30, it grieves him. It wearies the Lord, it grieves the Lord, and because the Lord is weary and grieved, then the Lord says, I am burdened. And I also find this, that the Lord's burdens do not roll off his back like water off a duck's back. God did not shake off this burden that Israel had placed upon him because of their sin. I feel like in some degree God's heart was broken and he was grieving, and God couldn't get rid of his burden. And so he came to Malachi and wanted Israel to know about the burden. You know, we sing, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Well, I believe not only our burdens are lifted at Calvary, but I believe that God's burdens are lifted at Calvary. And you know, the Lord can't wish his burdens away. And the Lord can't pray his burdens away. Who's he going to pray them to? What's the Lord going to do with it? Now, repentance, of course, is the only way that God gets relief himself from the burdens caused him by sin. And I not only revealed to Malachi that he had a burden, but he also directed Malachi as to how that burden could be lifted. Malachi 3:7, notice what it says. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. That's what brought him the burden now. You've not kept them. Now he tells Malachi, the only solution to removing the burden upon the Lord, and that I, of course, involves repentance. And that's the only way that the burden could be lifted. So in our own life, when we sin and we grieve God, and we weary God, making God have a burden. The only way that we can relieve that burden is for us to, of course, repent and turn back to the Lord. And, of course, then the burden is lifted. The Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven when a person repents. Why? Why do they rejoice? I believe because God's burden has been lifted. I never thought about that. It's the reason that sometimes there's rejoicing in heaven over repentance on earth. I think it's because the angels realize that a burden upon the Lord has been lifted and they have rejoiced because God's burden has been taken away. God gets rid of a lot of burdens that he has And he gets his people to get rid of a lot of sins they have. It works that way. But the Lord now has some burdens of a different nature. I never thought about this. And a different type of burdens than just those caused by sin. Look at Psalms 55:22. Some of you have memorized this verse. You've heard it. It's very familiar to your ears. Notice what it says. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Whenever we are troubled and we have trials and we're upset and we're worried, people say, well, why don't you just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there? And there's every reason in the world to believe that God wants you to do that. He invites you to do that. But we also can believe that God is touched by the burden of our sorrows when we do bring them to Him and leave them there. Look at Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. We have a great high priest who has passed into heaven. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. He is not a high priest that cannot be touched. Now notice this. He is not a high priest who cannot be touched with feelings of our infirmities. In other words, the Lord not only gets your burden, but according to Hebrews, He feels your burdens. He's really touched. He becomes as burdened as you become burdened, if I understand Hebrews 4. And God then can get all wrapped up in your problem. He can really begin to care when you cast your cares on Him. Look at 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon Him. For He what? He cares. Now, God could not care unless He had feelings. So, undoubtedly, our burdens have some bearing on God's emotional feelings towards us and the solutions to our problems. God's interest in our woes is not heartless, but He must feel it. Now, when, as the psalm suggests, that we take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there, I ask the question, well, what is Jesus going to do with those burdens? You know about that? What's He going to do with it? I think a lot of people have a difficulty in taking their burdens to the Lord and leaving them. You know, it's not too hard to take them to the Lord, but it's very hard for us to leave them there, get up, and go out as though the problem no longer exists. That's real difficult. I think there are two thoughts that may help you leave your burdens behind with the Lord. First, the belief that He does care. And when the Lord cares about something, the Lord acts. He cares and is touched by the burden. That helps you leave it there, that He's not cold and indifferent. And secondly, that He will begin immediately to process your burden into specific slots to be dealt with as He sees fit and pleases. Now, how does God handle your burdens? Does He forget them? No, that won't work. If you take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, it's not going to be forgotten. That's not the way the Lord handles your burdens. And I don't believe you're going to be able to completely forget it either, if it's still a burden. Well, will He toss them behind His back? No. He won't do that either. Well, how will God unload the burdens that you and I place upon Him? How does He get rid of His burdens? I ask that question, you know. The Lord is burdened. I know how He gets rid of the burden caused by sin. He gets us to repent. But how does the Lord get rid of the burdens that you and I place upon His back that bother us and trouble us and sadden us and sicken us? Does He have a magic star He can sort of wave around and make all the problems disappear? You know, sometimes we think that's how He works. Brethren, that won't work. He doesn't do that. He doesn't toss them behind His back. He doesn't make them disappear. Now, sins can be forgiven and forgotten once repentance is made. But now with burdens, they have to be solved before they can be forgotten. There has to come a deliverance before God is through with the burden. I think some burdens that we have are of such a nature that God can directly send a miracle cure for them. In some instances, I think this is what the Lord does. But by far and large, the usual way the Lord handles the burdens that you and I give Him, you ready? Is to find somebody He can share them with. That's what He does with them. In other words, by your burden, then He goes out and says, now I must find a heart of a son to touch with my burden. Now when you give the Lord the burden, that becomes His burden. When you give something away, it belongs to the other fellow. When I take my burden to the Lord and leave it there, when I leave it there, it becomes the Lord's burden. Now the Lord says, I have a burden upon me. I didn't have it until you walked up here. And He says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your burden and I'm going to unload it on one of your brothers. Have you ever thought about that? And once He finds the right heart that can care about your burden like He cares, He'll share it with you. And I think the Lord has thousands of burdens pouring in every hour. Boy, all the time. What's that mean? He's looking every hour for more and more of His children that He can find relief by giving to them that very same burden you gave to Him. In other words, the more burdens the Lord gets, the busier you and I are going to have to be to solve. We don't always look at burdens like that, do we? We think we take to the Lord and He's just going to make a magic move and it's all solved. No, sirree, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And one of the reasons the burdens of the Lord are not being solved today is because the Lord is not being able to find very many children that He can share the burden with and will do anything about it. And the burdens just keep piling up and we're not getting solutions because the Lord is not getting open. Never thought about that, did you? Sometimes we say, oh God, what you waiting on? And God says, I'll tell you what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on somebody that I can put a burden in their heart and they'll do something for you. That's what I'm waiting on. All right. Now, when you begin to understand this type of operation of God, Galatians 6:2 makes a great deal of sense to you. Look at Galatians 6:2. Notice what it says. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Psalm said that I'm supposed to cast my burden on the Lord. Galatians 6 says that I'm supposed to cast my burden on the brother. Which one's right? They both are. They both are. The burdens that you see get cast on the Lord will more than likely end up cast on some brother. For that's what the Lord will do with it. Now, Jesus does say this, though, when He goes around sharing the burdens that He now has from us. He says, when I transfer the burden from me to you, I'll make it light. I'll make it light. Look at Matthew 11:30. Matthew 11. I never saw this before. I read this scripture, but I never saw what I saw today in this sermon. 11:30. Notice what Jesus said. My yoke is easy. But that last part, my burden is light. And the Lord has for you and I a yoke, and He has for you and I a burden. He says, not your burden is light. He said, my burden is light. The Lord Jesus has a burden. And the word burden here does not refer to God's commandments, because Jesus would never say God's commandments were a burden. They are a delight, not a burden. And the yoke refers to our willing subjection to the harness of God's commands and God's plans. You see, it's the yoke that's used to steer the old cow one way or the other. And this is subjection, the yoke here. But He says here that my burden's light. And I think the burden that the Lord says that He will keep light is the very burden that represents your troubles and my anguish and my pain that I've placed upon you. He takes my burdens and He says, these are now truly my burdens. They're not treasures the Lord wants to keep. Nowhere in the Bible does it say your burdens are treasures. The Lord says, get rid of your burdens. And not only does He want you to get rid of your burdens, He wants to get rid of the same burdens you gave Him. He wants to get rid of His burdens. They're not a treasure. They're no asset. When the Lord became heavy-hearted over Israel, what did He do? Did He wave a magic wand? No. He went and looked for a man that would have a heart for Israel, who would have a burden for Israel. And that man was named Malachi. God went looking for a man. He didn't pull off a miracle. He pulled out a man. And when God became burdened for the salvation of an Ethiopian eunuch, what did He do? Did He send down an angel and save him? No. Not at all. He stopped the revival meeting. Why is that? I don't know. But the Lord had a burden. And when the Lord has a burden, He goes around looking for somebody to share it with. Look, if you will, Acts 8. Acts 8. Let's look at verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, went back to Jerusalem. And they, in Jerusalem now, having some revival campaigns here and there, they were preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And all of a sudden, the burden of the Lord is going to come into this thing. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, well, why on earth didn't the angel speak to the Ethiopian eunuch? Huh? Why mess with Philip? But he did. He said, Philip, stop your preaching. The Lord's got a burden. I want you to arise and go, not next month, you know, now. And go toward the south, under the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert region. And Philip arose and went, and behold, he didn't know what was going on. A man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading from Isaiah the prophet. And then the story goes on and tells how Philip explained to him the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. He was saved and baptized and went home rejoicing. The Lord had a burden for the eunuch. Where did he get that burden? Well, I believe, and I have no scriptural evidence to prove this, but I believe somebody somewhere had been praying that God convert this treasure, and God had the burden on his heart. What did he do with that burden? He went over and found Philip. Man of the hour to solve the burden. And the burden was rolled away because God found a man to share it with. All right. When God heard a cry from the people in Macedonia, a cry for help, what did God do? He sent him money? No. Look at Acts 16, 9 through 10. There's no miracle here. No miracle visits. Now, a vision did appear to Paul, but why didn't they have a vision for the people in Macedonia? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And in that vision, there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now they in Macedonia have been praying for a preacher, have been praying for some relief, have been praying for some help. God took the burden. What did he do with it? He gave it to Paul. He said, now Paul, you go answer the burden, and we'll lift it together. Now when Israel was in heavy bondage under the Egyptians, and this cry for help and relief reached God's ears, what did he do? Look at Exodus 3. What did he do? He just didn't kill all the Egyptians. He didn't perform a magic trick and float down a cloud and pull out all the Israelites. What did he do? There was the burden. Look, if you will, now the third chapter, beginning with the seventh verse. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. The Lord had a burden for his people. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Well, we think, well, go ahead and do it. Oh, no. I want to bring them out of that land and to a good land, flowing with milk and honey. He names all the areas that they would occupy. Let's go on to verse 17. And I will bring up out of affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and so forth and so forth, and they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you, I'm here, Moses now, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days' journey in the wilderness, that they may sacrifice the Lord our God. What are you going to do? God took his burden, given to him by the Israelites. He took that burden to a man named Moses. He shared that burden with Moses, and he called Moses to unload the burden that Israel had given to God. Well, Adam and Eve sinned, condemning themselves to hell. The burden of all burdens fell on God. What did he do with the burden? You and I know what he did. Well, look at John 10. John 10. Verse 15. And the Father knows me, said Jesus, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life. What did the Father do? Make a new Adam and Eve? No. He went and sought somebody who would have his same burden for lost people. Who was it? It was Jesus. And he said to Jesus, I command you go out there and die for them. No. He said, Jesus, my son, I have a burden. I have a burden for Adam and Eve and all their descendants that's going to hell. I have a burden. Would you like to share my burden with me? What did Jesus say? I lay down my life. I voluntarily become the burden bearer of God's burden. Look at 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. No man takes it from me. I lay it down. The Lord had a burden. His Son shared it. I think we need to make ourselves available today to share in Christ's present day burden. He said he'll keep them light. He'll never give you a burden of his that's too great to bear. How does he keep them light? Three ways. Number one, by supplying all the means necessary to solve the problem. When he gives you and I a burden, he will also give you and I all that's necessary to carry it out to the finish. That's guaranteed. He won't give you a job that he will not equip you for. Number two, he says, I will assist you in solving the burden by my power and by my wisdom at every turn you make. I will assist you. I will use your hands. I will use your heart. I will use your eyes. I will use you. I will be there with you to guarantee the burden can be lifted. Give you all you need. Give you my own self there. Thirdly, I'll give you inner joy to go along with it. It'll give you peace and faith and energy to keep you going, that you faint not. I want to compare two scriptures with you. One is 2 Corinthians 1:3. 2 Corinthians 1:3. And the other is Isaiah 41. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and the first verse. I want to compare these two verses. The 40th chapter and the first verse in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Notice now. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The last part I want you to remember, the God of all comfort. If you will, look at Isaiah 41. What does he say? Comfort ye, my people, saith God. Now, Paul said, God is our comfort. Isaiah said, the people are our comfort. Who's right? Both of them are. God will comfort his people through his people. We ask God to take our burdens. You know what you're doing? You are opening the door of opportunity for some Christian brother. In other words, whenever you go to the Lord with a burden, you are creating a job for some Christian to perform. There's no way around it. If you don't want the Lord to put a job upon you, don't you ever take a burden to him or anybody else. If we don't want to be a burden bearer, we should never be a burden sharer. If you don't want to play your part in helping the Lord bear his burdens, then you have no right unloading any of your burdens on him. Because you see, the Lord solves the burden problems of his own through you and through me, who in turn really give him all the burdens. He has no burdens. But what we give to him. And he can't solve our burdens till we'll all get together and make ourselves available to be the one that he uses to get somebody blessed who is in trouble. I think the burdens of the Lord turn out to be nothing but what we sometimes say, I've been called of the Lord. That's just what you are, brother. You've been called of the Lord to do a certain task in a certain day for some certain brother somewhere that has a heavy heart. That's right, you've been called. You've been called Just like you put the finger on God to help you out, God puts the finger on you to help Him out. You've been called. He that calls on God will not be long until he hears God calling on him. That's the way God bears burdens. And if we don't want to be a burden bearer, then the burdens will not be borne, and they will not be solved. All right. Sometimes we say, this is my work for the Lord. That's exactly right. You know, burdens create that work. You have a work for the Lord? Sure do. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it talks about the work of the Lord that you're involved in. And that work is a direct result of somebody's burdens on the Lord being shared with you, and you then have a job to do. And it's your job. It's your job. I want you to keep in mind that God works through His people to relieve the burdens that they put on His back. That's normally the way God does it. And I say this, that God does not have much need or reason to share His supplies and to share His power if at the same time He is not allowed to share His burdens. If we will not take His burdens, we don't need His supplies. And we don't need His help. And we don't need His blessing. If He can't hire you out, you don't need His tools. Now that's putting it pretty blunt, but that's pretty honest. About as honest as I know how to put it. God spreads His blessings around only after He has first spread His burdens around. And the blessings come right in behind the burden. We need Him to solve His burdens. And that's the way the Lord works. When a man begins to walk in the Spirit, one of the first things he becomes aware of is the Lord's burden. The Lord's burden. And he then becomes aware of which ones become His specialty. That's right. Every burden the Lord gives, there's going to be a corresponding work for some worker to perform. Now, if we're not going to work, the burdens will not be solved. And I think this is important for us to understand. When we go to the Lord with our burdens, we expect action. The Lord says, you'll get action if I can get some action. And if I can't get any action, I can't get rid of your burden. And you're still stuck with it. All right. There was a preacher years ago named Billy Bray. He was preaching in a town where the people loved him. And a Quaker came up to him and he said, Mr. Bray, you're a kind-hearted man. I appreciate all that you've done in this community and for the people. And I believe the Lord would like for me to give you a suit of clothing. That is, if one of the suits that I have at home will fit you. Billy Bray answered, sir, I'll accept your offer, and there's no doubt in my mind that the suit will fit. For if the Lord has laid the burden on your heart, He knows my suit size, and He wouldn't make a mistake. He's right. He's right. Now, brethren, sometimes you and I, out of a clear blue sky, begin to have a burden about something, about someone. And that's strange, you see. We may be thinking about eating coconut pie or going somewhere, and all of a sudden the Lord hits us with the burden. And we begin to have these thoughts about somebody and become upset about them, become worried, concerned about them. I think this is probably the very beginning of the Lord saying, I got a burden for them. It's like this man here, he must have been thinking about I don't know what. And the Lord said, you know, old Billy Bray needs a suit. I don't guess anybody else noticed too much about his clothes besides ridicule, but here he said to this man, he ought to have a suit. And he started paying attention to his clothes, and then he said, he ought to have a suit. And finally the man said, yeah, you know, he ought to have a suit. And the Lord then said, you know, he ought to have one of your suits. And the man said, you know, that's right. He sure ought to have one of my suits. Now, you know, the Lord comes gently and lovingly and sweetly and says, I'm going to put a burden. My burden's light. I'm not going to jump on you. The burden's light. I'm going to give you some thoughts about somebody that's in trouble, that's in need, and they've been talking to me. And I've taken that burden, and I want to share it with you. And between you and me, we can solve this problem. And maybe a missionary you see comes to somebody's mind, and we want to share with them. Or there may be somebody who needs a witness, like you see Philip was told to go out in the desert. The Lord said, I need somebody to go talk to so-and-so. Sometimes, you know, you may be cooking or you may be doing something. The Lord put somebody's name on your mind. And the first thing you can say is, I wonder if they're a Christian. You ought to wonder where that thought came from. The devil didn't put it there. I wonder if they're a Christian. But when you begin to wonder, and you begin to feel a sense of burden, and you begin to say, you know, I ought to talk to those people. Brethren, you ought to do it. Because that's the burden of the Lord upon you, and He wants you to solve a problem, and things are being made ready for you to have success. And when the Lord lays the burden, the need is there, and He has chosen you, and called you, and equipped you to answer that burden prayer. Maybe somebody that's hungry. Somebody that needs clothes. I don't know what the need might be. There's a thousand and one things that's needed. There may be some lonely heart that needs cheer. Some letter needs to be written to somebody. All of a sudden you think about you hadn't written to for years. Maybe that person is lonely, and at that very moment your letter will turn the tide. You don't know that. But just that burden comes. I ought to do this. Well, brethren, I believe that should be have priority. We ought to start following out these inclinations, these movings upon our heart. And I know good and well that everybody can't solve everybody else's problem. And the Lord says, my burden is light. I'm not going to give you all the burdens of all the people in all the world. I have enough people to share the burdens with if they'll all take their fair share. And I may have a burden for this missionary or this person in this neighborhood, and you won't have that burden. But I may have a burden, or you may have a burden then for somebody I don't have a heavy burden for. Every Christian is burdened about everything. I'm talking about the city, you see. And the Lord will tell me at times, for a certain person, this is the burden they have. This is the burden I want you to live. At the moment, let's forget about everybody else's burden. I'm taking care of that with somebody else. I'm going to use all of them. But the point is, we all get burdened day in, almost, and day out, and something comes to our heart. Maybe the Lord says a wife is burdened for some love and affection, and the Lord just may tell you, husband, that that's what she wants. You ought to go do it right now. Kiss her. Tell you love her. I mean, brethren, the Lord is constantly telling us the burdens that somebody has put on you. And He's saying to us, now I want you to take the burden off of me and off of them. And I will help you. Sometimes I get the picture today of the Lord going from town to town, from church to church, from house to house, saying, burdens, burdens. Who wants my burden? How many have you taken lately from the Lord? Huh? How many have you given? How many have you taken from? Father, we give this thanks this morning.